This is GM Authority Weekly, episode 65, recorded on May 13th, 2011. The Andrea Matthews Show. GM Authority Weekly is brought to you by the GM Authority News Desk for the latest independent General Motors news, analysis, and a whole lot more. Visit gmauthority.com. You can subscribe to this podcast for free. Try searching for GM Authority Weekly in the iTunes Store. It's time for GM Authority Weekly, and we're going to cover the latest General Motors news and provide some analysis and context along the way. From Colorado Springs, Colorado, I'm your host, Alex Luft, and I'm joined by the regular cast of the GM Authority crew, starting with GM Authority Editor-in-Chief, who's coming to us from the D-Town, Manoli Katakis. Good evening, Manny.
It's not a good evening.
No, the wings lost, not a good evening.
Yeah.
No. Well, maybe the once the rioting comes to an end.
Once the riot, yeah, this is a good thing I'm in my basement where, you know, I can be bunkered down with canned food and a shotgun.
Molotov cocktails don't penetrate the basement windows.
Well, I don't know why they'd be so upset, why they'd come to raid this house. This is Red Wings.
Right.
They should all just march to San Jose.
Well, you know, like when Brazil, for example, won the World Cup, you know, they still just went crazy on the streets and just, like, flipped cars upside down, even though they won.
State football and all sorts of stuff like that, when they beat University of Michigan, it gets ridiculous. Riots and, it used to be, like, real bad where stuff was set on fire and, like, more damage than you would want to see from after winning a rival football game. Like, it just got out of hand. This went on for a few years. I think it's calmed down since. I don't know when the last time anyone's burned a car.
Wow. Well, we also have from Ontario, Canada, of course, is GM Authority Opinion Desk writer and Camaro extraordinaire, Hilton Jorson. Good evening, Hilton. Is there any rioting over where you are?
No, but, you know, there were a lot of Wings fans here as well. And, you know, I guess we'll be looking at Vancouver now, cheering for them, because nobody in Ottawa likes Danny Heatley. And, you know, we love that Cronwall hit in Game 4 or whatever it was. And on Heatley, that was wonderful.
The man is a truck on skates.
Oh, he's incredible.
Personified.
A truck on skates.
Yes, he's a truck personified.
Yeah. That's funny. You know, being a hockey player, it's kind of funny. I haven't really heard the, you know, that kind of analogy. It's cool.
He could have had
it's refreshing.
He could have had a career in football somewhere or rugby.
Yeah, probably. Before we get started with the show, I want to let everyone know that, first things first, we did lose an episode. That's why this show is kind of coming to you almost a week late. So hopefully that will not happen again. Not hopefully, I kind of have set it up now where that won't happen again, period.
What happened anyways?
Well, it seems that the software that I was using called Adobe Audition.
Right.
Calling out Adobe, Alex?
Yeah. it kind of stopped recording after the first X amount of minutes. And then it just kind of said, oh, well, since I didn't record the files, I don't know where the files are. So then I did a forensics check. Pretty much I scavenged the entire contents of two of these drives that I record this to. Wasn't there. So it seems like it just stopped recording, period. And, you know, didn't let me know about it or anything. So thank you, Adobe Audition. So we're using Apple's logic now. So the Apple doesn't make mistakes, as we all know. So there we go.
Manny, I wonder how long he took to come up with that one.
I have it scripted here in my actual...
He was waiting for it.
I had scripted to make sure exactly what I'm going to say when somebody asks me.
Well, exactly. Like, yeah. You know, You could have just saved a minute and said, well, I hit delete on the file by mistake.
Yeah, that's or maybe my dog ate it or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Your cyber dog.
Yeah, that did not happen, unfortunately.
Do they make those?
Cyber dogs, I'm sure they can if you go to, like, you know, China. They can make you all kinds of cyber animals that you can interact with in various ways.
You sure that China or Japan?
China. I think it all starts in China. That's all I'm going to say about that. Second thing, if you'd like to call us and leave us a voicemail or just talk to us about anything that we've mentioned on this show, anything about the website, gmauthority.com, or, you know, anything in general. Maybe you just want to tell us about your day and how that went. Maybe you just want to tell us maybe how upset you are that the Wings lost. You can call us at 313-355-3GMA. That's 313-355-3GMA. So should we do the news? Is that the first thing on the list?
Well, we could make an entire show dedicated to the Wings, but I would say we should get on with the news.
Okay, so first things first in the news, $2 billion.
Yeah, that's the number two.
Yep.
With was that nine zeros?
Nine zeros. Yep.
That's a big number. Good chunk of change.
Three commas.
Yeah, definitely the news story of the week, I'd say.
So this is the amount, of course, $2 billion that GM is going to invest on a nationwide level. They're going to add and or retain 13,000 jobs since 2009. That was the original promise.
Yeah, see, I don't. But that's vague, don't you think? Like,
it is.
What do you mean you're going to add or retain? And no one's really specifying officially.
Well, that's funny. Whenever you say that we use the word or, it's like we're not going to fire 13,000 people, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to add 13,000 people either.
Right. I mean, you could keep 12,999 and add one. Right.
Yes. You know who that one person is? Dan Akerson.
Dan Akerson.
Generally.
Lieutenant Dan,
sorry. That's a little bit off. So the announcement, obviously, GM kind of what they promise now sort of is they will hire 42.
Kind of, sort of.
Well, it is. It's kind of like not
it
really.
It's exactly what it is.
I don't know what way to put it. I mean, it's 4,200 people, you know, and it's technically, it's still technically going to be spread out across the entire, you know, all their operations across the United States.
This is all money that's actually, I mean, it's more or less staying home. This $2 billion is going to be spread over 17 states, mm-hmm. with, I think, $109 million of this $2 billion staying in the state of Michigan, going to, I believe, Flint and Bay City for Cruise engine assemblies.
Right.
And basically, this money is pretty much just going into plant updates for what's coming down the pipeline. And the only thing that was officially part of this before they made the announcement was the Bowling Green, Kentucky plant.
Which they called, or the analysts called, a gamble.
Yeah, a gamble, which, I mean, they call it a gamble because it's everything to do with the next generation Corvette, where a lot of people, they don't see it playing as a huge profit factor, mm-hmm. for generators, understandably so. But at the same time, it's so many different things for Chevrolet and GM. It's a status thing. It's an engineering testing bed. It's so many different things for GM other than just being the bottom line.
Right. As far as other plans or plants are concerned, so we already mentioned, of course, Tonawanda in New York,
mm-hmm.
As well as so that's going to actually make the 8-speed transmissions?
Tonawanda. No, Toledo, Ohio is going to be making the 8-speed.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so Toledo, right.
Yeah, Toledo's going to make the 4 and 8-cylinder engines, mm-hmm. the new ones,
mm-hmm.
and other yet, still unofficial plants to be are going to be the Spring Hill, Tennessee stamping plant, and the Detroit Hamtramck assembly plant, which that seems to probably be where the biggest chunk of the hirings are going to come from when they start pouring in the shifts for the new 2013 Malibu. Because all the thing has right now is the Chevy Volt, and they're only, I think, pumping out, what, like 30
300, a day? 400 a month, yeah.
Yeah, it's
or at least they're selling 300, 400 a month.
Yeah, well, they're selling every Volt that they make.
Right.
Which is a good thing.
Well, it's interesting that there is demand for this vehicle, and I don't know if I should call it an artificial demand artificial limit on supply.
I don't know if it's that. I think it's just the fact that the supply chain is still thin.
Right. Yeah.
And they can't produce, like, for the batteries, for instance. Mm-hmm. I think they only get the batteries from one source, and they can't keep up with how much I think GM wants to produce initially. But then again, this is still, it's only available in select markets, so they shouldn't be rushing this.
Yeah, but the suppliers are looking at ramping up production.
Yeah, just as Chevrolet and GM are looking to ramp up production.
Right. What else do we have here? We have...
it's going to add $2.9 billion to the USA's GDP.
Well, that's a nice estimate. We'll see if it really...
That's according to this. That's not according to GM. That's according to the Center for Automotive Research.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. Whenever they make those claims, it's like,
And it's going to support up to 28,000 jobs, both directly and indirectly.
So we should note that most of these, if not all of these hires, the blue-collar hires, will be at the second tier pay structure. So what, is that 14 an hour?
Yeah, it's about 14 an hour. And from what I hear, most of them are probably still going to be called back workers that were laid off.
Right. So I guess that adds to the promise of adding and or retaining 13,000 jobs.
Right. Well, and then again, like how many UAW workers who were working at 28, 29, 30 an hour are going to come back to work for 14. I mean,
some is better than none for some people, I guess, but I guess that remains to be seen. But I think it's a matter of if those guys don't want to come back, then they'll just find new people.
Yeah. And a lot of those people probably have moved on anyway.
If you don't want to do it, get out.
I'm willing to bet that a lot of these new hires are going to end up being new.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't want to say that it's a really great thing, but it is a good thing in the long run, since those people will not have grown up with the old GM. You know, I haven't really been...
No, but the person that they're working next to in the plant could be. They'll tell them all about the old GM.
That's true. Well, at least hopefully there's some, improvements along the way, or that have happened from the old to the new that even the old-timers can realize and could notice. But that still remains to be seen. That's kind of a long-term scenario.
And speaking of old GM.
Speaking of old GM, what about it?
Well, the old GM went into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And through that, the U.S. Treasury had this certain amount of ownership.
Oh, I think that's called Government Motors.
Oh, is that the name? Well, anyway, the remaining shares that the U.S. Treasury has are... Speculation is that they won't be sold off until at least August. At least that's according to the Detroit News.
You know, that's a great... I wonder who came up with that, because, it's like, well, they're not going to sell them in July or June, so it must be August. Because it takes about a month to get the stuff ready,
Well, here's the 411. This is what the reasoning that they laid down is that aside from the lockout period, which actually expires next weekend, May 22nd, Treasury apparently wants to wait until it can use quote unquote securities rules to make it easier for the sales of the shares to happen, whatever the hell that means, which will be in the time frame of August. But considering most of Wall Street likes to take vacation in August, the sale might have to wait even further till after, say, Labor Day in September.
Okay.
And by then, Treasury will sell not all of the shares, but actually around maybe half of them, because they want to sell the remaining shares in two increments, not just one bulk increment.
Right, and we discussed that before.
That this would be a good idea.
Right. And I think I'm not sure. Obviously, I think at current stock prices, GM or the Treasury would lose about $10 billion?
Yeah, $9.5, $10 billion right. at current trading prices.
Well, I think they better hold on to them because I don't know what the rush is.
Yeah, I don't know what the rush is either. And considering that people want to see it trade at, or, you know, speculating that shares need to be at least $40 or higher for Treasury to at least break even.
Right. They're at 131.07 at market close. When we recorded the show, May 13th. So Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
So I don't know. I don't know. I really don't can't understand what the rush is. I mean, are they really that anxious to get their money back? I just don't really.
I don't know. I think the whole thing is that everyone just kind of wants to see life back to normal. No more federal ownership of part ownership of this company.
Yeah, but then you kind of end up having a black eye for the rest of your existence. You know, because you cost the government $10 billion.
The black eye is not. It's already there, and it's either way.
Yeah, but don't you think that would be less of a black eye? It would kind of turn into a semi bluish eye if. If you know, GM ended up being a profit center for that whole bailout?
No, because you're still going to have all these skeptics out there who are like, well, we did, you know, how could you know that this was going to happen? You could have taken a huge, you're going to have all these people just trying to spin it any way they can.
Right.
So that the haters.
Yeah, but I think it would be less of an effect. I mean, obviously the haters would still be present and accounted for, but I think it would be less of an effect. Hilton, what do you think?
You know what, like you said, what's the rush, right? On the one hand, you know, people still have the problem with, you know, government motors, and I'm sure General Motors would like to get rid of that, you know, that moniker. And, you know, the price of the stock is only going to go up from here, in my opinion. There is no rush, and I think overall the taxpayer would want to get some kind of return on the investment. And in the event that, you know, they could sell the shares at $60, if that opportunity presented itself, the Treasury would actually, you know, make money on this deal. So, yeah, I agree. There's no rush. You know, we already have the shares publicly traded. And you know, that will dictate the value of the shares based on the success of the company. So
see where it goes. Are any of us? I'm just curious. Do any of us own shares in UGM?
Nope.
I do. So
I own a couple, literally.
You know, but it's a long-term thing. I mean. Nowadays, in my opinion, you kind of have to invest in something long-term financially sound.
Yeah, day traders be darned.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys like that, but still.
Yeah, there's plenty of them. I can't get my brain around it. How, you know, someone can do that. But nevertheless, Manoli, what were you going to say?
So also, speaking of old GM, Bob Stemple is dead.
Oh, yeah. Him.
How do you spell Stemple?
Like staple, just with E's.
Oh, okay.
And an M.
Oh. So it's not really like a staple.
I think we have the title for our show. Bob Staple.
Oh, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, condolences and so on and so forth, but... Not to be overly crude. I mean, I didn't really mean it to come out that way. What do we know that that Bob did or you know did for GM? He was obviously their CEO for what 2 years?
Yeah, about for 2 years. It didn't end well for him.
Was it basically. Between 90? When was that?
It was 1990 and 1992.
So right after the great. What's the guy's name again?
Roger. We dare not speak his name.
No. He's like Lord Voldemort.
Yeah, he's like Voldemort. We dare not speak his name.
You know who.
You know who.
Yeah, and the reason for anyone listening to this at home who may not be completely on the same page as us. We don't really like, or at least I don't really like, I can't speak for Hilton or Manoli, but I don't like Roger Smith for...
You know who.
Yep, sorry, you know who, for taking brand autonomy away from GM's brands. So, you know who, I don't like you.
And yeah, GM still has yet to recover from that. If they, well, then again, do they plan to?
Is that even in the cards?
Right. But anyway, for as far as Robert Stempel goes, he actually oversaw the development of the EV1. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not him personally, but during his tenure, the EV1 was developed.
Right.
But, chains and chains of quarterly losses eventually led to a boardroom coup d'etat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ousted from his position as CEO.
Stempel was 77, and he passed in his home in Florida. So... our condolences, and not much else we can say about that.
Speaking of new GM.
New GM. So, let's talk about new GM. Cadillac certified.
Yeah, pre-owned.
CPO.
CPO.
You know, CPO we do that thing really well. Face. You know, we did that a couple of times in New York.
Well, when we should just jinx each other.
You're going to be the one to say it. It's like, it's going to be our game. Jinx! Oh, my God.
Jinx.
Let's do it again. Cadillac is relaunching its CPO program. It's not like that it ever went away, but they're kind of reinvigorating
this program. It's a lot better at this point around.
It is. If you compare it, actually, if you compared Caddy's CPO program before this change, it was kind of sucked.
Yep.
Especially when compared to really premium marks like Jaguar. And BMW. 172-point vehicle inspection is going to be included, as well as a reconditioning certificate that, one, includes a road test of the vehicle, as well as detailing inside and out, which you would expect. Customers will also receive a vehicle history report, and there will be a, get this, 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Not just a powertrain warranty. An overall warranty.
That's nuts.
It is. With 24-hour roadside assistance and...
There has to be an asterisk, though. Because honestly, it's like maybe their 100,000 or 6-year warranty cars post-2007.
Because everything before that, we can't really stand behind. Hello, 2005 Cadillac CTS. So we also get 24-hour roadside assistance and courtesy transportation while the warranty is in effect. I think the asterisks, or maybe the asterisk that Manoli, you speak of, may include the fact that you have to bring it in every, 2 weeks to the dealership, just to have it looked at.
Eesh.
Or, like when Hyundai does its thing, they have the 10-year, 100,000-mile.
I'd like to see someone put a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty on a CTS-V.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that those may be the cars with the asterisk next.
Like
to them.
An 09 CTS. I'm gonna 100,000-mile warranty, 6-year warranty on a CTS.
Supercharged.
The person who has it is just gonna put it through absolute hell.
You know what's funny? I saw. I don't want to be ageist here, but I swear this lady was probably above 80 years old, driving a CTS V the other day.
She probably had the automatic.
I couldn't tell because I didn't really, it was on the highway, but it was a CTS-V, it was that gray color. Oh, I looked over and I'm like, I expect to see some kind of a businessman, some kind of suit, whatever. I see this really old lady. It's just kind of comical. I don't know.
Was she like, could she see over the dashboard?
Yeah, no, she was perfectly fine. It's just, I'd expect, I would have expected to see her like in Boca Raton, not Colorado Springs, but
if she was a Boca Raton driving a CTS-V, it's more
well plausible. then it's a case of lady or maybe her husband walking into the dealership and saying, I want the most expensive Cadillac you have to offer besides the Escalade, and then you can kind of figure that out. But I don't know, I just kind of found that surprising, a little bit comical and surprising, kind of made my morning. So let's see what else we have. As part of this program, Cadillac will also cover the first 3 monthly payments on interest rates as low as...
But you gotta act now.
Right. 1.9% for qualified buyers.
Yeah, but, yeah, but you got to act now. Like, if you if you apply after June, you're not going to get
right
first.
Exactly. So this is through June. So I think at the end of June, this is going to expire, or at least the interest rates are going to expire. But I mean, overall, we can't. I mean, what else is there to say? This is a great start. You know, they didn't skimp here, as they did with, in my opinion, the Cadillac Shield program.
You thought they skimped a bit on the Shield program?
I think they completely skimped on it.
How so?
Well, if you compare it to, say, like the BMW program, it doesn't include certain things. Like, let's see. I think, you know, like the BMW, comparable BMW program includes, you know, like wiper blades and like brakes and everything. And the Shield doesn't really do that.
A free month's worth of dry cleaning. Should throw that in there.
Yeah. I don't think that's really in there. Is it?
No.
No.
That would be fantastic. A free, a month's, yeah, like, no, for the whole Shield program, free dry cleaning and free, like, dinner at Carrabba's Italian Grill every other weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, that dry cleaning would come in really useful, especially after our trip to New York when I had to carry my multitude of jackets, of blazers back in my suitcase.
You should have just wore them all on the plane.
I don't think they would have let me through security.
Sir, why are you wearing so many jackets?
Sir, why do you have three jackets on?
Cold?
It's really cold in New York. I'm a Florida boy.
No kidding. Why are you going to Colorado, sir?
Well, that's where my posse hangs out. I mean, right.
I have a bunker. I mean,
I'm friends with this one guy. He's got three parts to his name. The middle one reads Bin. So
last name Dead.
Yeah, I think they skimped on the Shield program, but you know, we'll see. Moving on.
You're probably not the only person that thinks that GM is skimping out on them because
nope.
You have quite, well, at least according to the Wall Street Journal, quite a few people leaving General Motors.
Bye, 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 bye.
Yeah, with, you know, with the middle finger high in the air.
Very high.
Yeah, driving away in their Pontiacs and their Saturns and their Hummers off to the Toyota, Ford, and Honda dealerships.
Yep. So this is, you know, not a very... It's funny because initially when we were first... When GM first shut these brands down, you know, it made these plans to, you know, convert and retain Pontiac,
yeah,
Saturn.
Those are called incentives.
You know, right. They made to retain them. They sent these pamphlets and all kinds of incentives in the mail. But according to the Wall Street Journal, 23% of former Saturn owners made a smooth transition to Chevrolet, but an icy 35% found their new vehicles with Ford, Honda, or Toyota. That burns. That's got to burn.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really got to burn.
Where does, you know, that remaining percentage go? Do they go to Buick or what?
Nobody knows. It's a mystery.
Yeah, it's... They don't have cars anymore.
They don't have cars. They ride Segways.
Yeah, they ride. They stopped completely. They went to bicycles.
In other news, Segway sales shot up 200%. Citing conquest buyers from former Pontiac or a former Saturn owners. You know, Saturn owners are a weird type. Because Saturn owners were really, really... I remember this from... I don't know if you guys remember this. From about 5 years ago. Saturn owners were the most loyal GM buyers there were. They did not associate themselves with other GM brands at all. And they were... I think there was a study right when GM was going through bankruptcy and the whole issue of Saturn and or Pontiac and or Buick or, you know, whatever brands came
under fire.
Well, I think
a lot of that
fire.
Had to do... Sorry, Alex. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Saturn dealers kind of were their own chain.
Right, exactly. I agree. And so basically there was a study saying that if Saturn were to be closed, that most of their customer base would switch to an import brand, such as Hyundai, Kia, Toyota, Honda, or Nissan, maybe even Volkswagen. So I mean, I'm not really surprised to see the Saturn, you know, side of the fence kind of, you know, see those jump. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, get this. According to the Wall Street Journal, 70% of drivers, of Pontiac drivers, made the defect to a non-GM model.
Yeah, but, I mean, honestly, that data is totally opposite from what we heard in March.
It is. But...
Even last year.
Yeah, I don't... But, you know, they claim that this data is from... The, this is the data Edmonds gave them.
Right.
So, but then again, I don't know where Edmonds got it.
Hmm.
So I think it just kind of shows that you can really skew the stats almost any way you want.
You could. I mean, I don't know if they're counting, obviously. I mean, you know those G8 owners didn't trade their vehicles in.
Oh, no, man.
But then again, they didn't sell that many either, so.
Well, still, when you have one, you know you're owning an instant classic.
Yeah, definitely a classic.
Or a Solstice. Solstice Coupe? Oh, geez.
I mean, I would even throw, like, the Astra XR in there.
Astra. Well.
Because I drove one, and that car is just... I loved it.
Yeah, but you can get an Astra VXR in England.
Yeah, but you can get like a Commodore, you know, souped up Commodore in Australia, but you can't
get
it here.
No, it's a G8.
That's right, yeah. You Yanks. Get off my lawn.
You bloody Yanks and your Pontiac G8. It's our car.
Or your Chevys. We should talk about that. Are we going to talk about that today?
Yeah, I put it
on. Okay, excellent. So we'll talk about that. Great. Let's...
We have another hour.
I think we're at, what, about 30 minutes in or so? So we got some time.
We'll see.
Let's take a quick break. Take a water break. You guys get some water, get some sodas, get some beers.
Maybe lose some water.
Some vodka. Maybe lose some water. But then you kind of have to run fast, though. But no worries. The show will go on. Go ahead. If you need to...
I'm on the bathroom right now. I do the show on the toilet.
You actually do it on the toilet. That's the wonders of podcasting. But I gotta warn you. We're going to have video pretty soon. So you may want to...
It's from the waist up. Just don't look at the expressions on my face.
Business at the top. Party down low.
Don't look at me.
Just make sure you don't tilt the screen down, you know, where the webcam sits.
Where the webcam falls down.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the possibility of GMC moving up market. We're going to talk about something called AutoStore, and we will also talk about mid-engine rumors of course, the C7. Exactly. But before we do that, I'd like to remind everyone that we do appreciate you sharing the show with all of your friends, all of your family that is obviously into cars and into GM, or maybe they don't have to be into GM as much. So if you have, you know, someone who you can let someone know about GM Authority or about, you know, the GM Authority Weekly Show, we really appreciate it. And, you know, just send them over to GMAuthority.com, tell them that they have to listen to the show. It's the best. Are we the best? Yeah, we're the best. I like to keep telling myself that, you know, as I solemnly stroke my shoulder. So, nevertheless, can you picture that? Is that like a good? Is that a good?
Ladies and gentlemen, make of that what you will. Alex left stroking
his own shoulder.
His shoulder.
You can email Alex at gmauthority.com if you'd like to see pictures. But you won't get any pictures. So just, you know, just help us out. You can do, you can share it on Twitter, you can share it on Facebook, you can share it in person with your friends by word of mouth. We really appreciate it, don't we, Manoli?
I love hate mail.
Yeah, we not hate mail, no. We're talking about sharing the show, we're talking about love. Love mail. Oh. Love mail. We want them to send love mail to their friends and family. About GM Authority.
Sadistically, though, I do love that hate mail.
Yeah, you get like what, a good 10 emails a day or so now, huh?
Oh, jeez, man.
I mean, right after that Holden thing.
Fair either. They're like, you know, they
just gouge you.
Yeah, they make fun of me.
Yeah. Well, what do they say?
What, talking about how Greeks suck and.
You know, that's just like below the belt. You can't help that.
Tell me I'm fat and can't read.
Well, at least they don't say you can't speak or write good or well.
Well, they do. I was getting to that.
See, now those you got to send over to Alex at gmauthority.com. Alex will take care of those.
Because you really can't read good.
Because, right, I just go after their IP address.
Right.
So
he reads numbers and he speaks HTML.
I speak HTML, CSS, and JavaScript.
Yes.
And a little bit of PHP on the side.
Not English.
No. In fact, I'm communicating with you right now through PHP, JavaScript, and HTML, and it's all being translated real time.
Through, through Google Translate.
Exactly. So, GMC, going to go up market, eh?
Well, according to Automotive News.
So, this is finally, it looks like, some kind of a plan. Oh, wow. I almost get gasped for that after that one.
A plan? GMC with a plan?
Whoa. So, yes, this is according to Automotive News. And, you know, obviously, we've been hearing about this for some time, that the Silverado and the next generation Silverado and Sierra are going to be, you know, different from a visual standpoint.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're going to be different in price is kind of a different matter, but nevertheless, that is the case. So, you know, this is a quote from Mark Royce. Quote: "When you do, what's he talking about here?"
Well, he's talking about how GM has this two-tier, basically product offering mm-hmm. when it comes to trucks compared mm-hmm. to say what Ford has with
right.
the one.
Right.
But they have the one F-150, but they have like five different variations of it. You know.
Right. Well, they have the Platinum. It's like nine different variations now.
Platinum, Harley-Davidson, Limited,
King Ranch,
Lariat, King Ranch. I mean,
wow, we just named like all of them. And then you have
Titanium,
right?
Raptor,
and you have the FX4.
Right. It's
jeez, that's like 11 right there.
Yeah. So, you know, to simplify things, or maybe they're not. GM uses Chevrolet and GMC, and basically it's the same truck in different skin.
Right,
inside and out. So, with regard to that, Mark is saying that when you don't do it right, you have price overlap, and you have identical incentives and go-to market strategies. And eventually, and with that in mind, it leads to the dilution of brands, and in this case, GMC. This is very true. I mean, when you look at the Silverado and the Sierra, they pretty much have identical MSRPs, but the Sierra line touches a higher price point thanks to what they offer with the Denali. And the same goes for the Tahoe and Yukon Suburban side right. over there. Now, when you look at the bottom end of this, though, like the Acadia and the Terrain, they seem to already be identifiably different from what is seen at Chevy.
Right. But then again, they're identifiably different from a visual standpoint on the exterior. Not so much on the interior, but that's beside the point. But it's still, I still don't grasp the difference in the buyer.
A lot of it has to do, it's GMC plays in a very niche market.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to, say, like the Acadia and the Terrain,
right.
they attract more of like an urban functional looking consumer, or the car is kind of like more urban looking, more functional
right.
than say looking than the Chevy model is.
Right.
But with the trucks, that there really isn't much of a difference there. So the speculation is, at least what I'm getting out of here,
mm-hmm.
is that GMC will at least move its trucks up market, because honestly, if you move the crossovers up market, you're just competing with Buick and Cadillac.
Right. But I think there's a space, and I wrote this in one of our articles about a year ago.
Well, even if there is a space, like, they're going to offer, they have the Acadia Denali,
mm-hmm.
and the Terrain, they caught one Spide.
Right.
A Terrain Denali.
Right. Well, here's kind of what I would do, and obviously this is, armchair quarterbacking, but nevertheless, here's kind of my proposal. GMC in and of itself seems like, especially the new vehicles from GMC, like the Terrain and the Acadia,
mm-hmm.
they seem to be more masculine than their Chevy counterparts in their design. You know, they're more blocky, they're more stodgy, they're more kind of muscular, you know.
They're urban chic.
Right.
The theme is urban chic.
So I think there is a space there, and I think that you could, you know, position that brand, not a lot, but just slightly higher than Chevy. You know, in those similar vehicles in the Chevy lineup, and really, you know, serve that customer well. And obviously, you need more differentiation when you do that. You need different interiors, unlike the Terrain and the Acadia, and obviously the trucks and the Yukon. You know, you need kind of a different feel and different look and a completely different, you know, package. At least the way it appears to the consumer from the outside and the inside. So I think they're well on their way there on the outside, you know, from the exterior design standpoint, but not so much from the interior.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there. And who knows, maybe with the next generation of those models, we might even see a big change.
I hope so. And we talked about the next-gen Acadia, you know, moving to a different platform, moving to the premium Theta platform shared with the SRX. I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens there. But it's definitely interesting to see some thought being put into GMC instead of, you know, oh, let's just take the Silverado here and slap on a different grill, different lights in the badge, and let's put it out. Let's put it out. Let's go. Sunday.
I want to see the granite.
I don't really want to see the granite. I just... We talked about this.
I know. I'm starting to see the granite as something that could really be original and unique for GMC. And not just the granite, but the granite CPU.
I like the CPU. I just don't like the granite.
I think if they had the granite CPU,
and obviously one won't happen without the other, or the CPU won't happen without the granite.
But think of the pickup truck lineup that General Motors could offer if they offered the El Camino, the granite CPU, and you got the mid-size trucks, and then the full-size trucks, and then medium-duty trucks. I mean, you have things that.
Well, how about the Montana? I like the Montana too.
Montana. Oh yeah, that's a gamma-based truck.
Yep, the little tiny one.
In Brazil, I don't know.
South America, Brazil, yeah.
That reminds me of like a Subaru Outback.
It does. I like it. I'm one of those weird guys who actually like the Baja.
I'm sorry, I said Outback.
Yeah, Baja. Yeah, we all know what you meant. Okay. Baja.
Yeah, but what could that pickup do that the El Camino couldn't?
Look funny.
The El Camino. I honestly will buy one. I will buy an El Camino.
El Camino.
I'm holding out for an El Camino.
I mean, at that point, because I've made my choice very distinct already. I mean, my next car is going to be the Camaro. But if the El Camino comes, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough choice, you know.
The El Camino. That's a perfect car for me. I still have fun with it, and I can move around all the things when I need to.
Business in the front. Party in the back.
Yeah, it is. It's a mullet with four wheels. What's your grill?
I think he's still in the bathroom.
Mr. Jorson.
Yes.
He's not in the bathroom. But Mr.
Granite
Jorson
or El Camino? Go.
Yeah, which one?
Granite CPU or El Camino? Or Chevy Agile?
Agile. Well, it's not the Agile, or the Agile.
Agile.
Well, I think it's the Montana. It's called.
Well, I gotta fill people in on, you know, the current El Camino movement going on out there. You know, I think somebody from Holden talked about the El Camino, and then, you know, with Twitter people started twittering that it was, what's it called down in the Holden?
Ute.
Yeah, it's the Commodore Ute.
Yes. Well, people were twittering about it, and, you know, people started saying, oh, I'd love that to come here to become the El Camino. And then Joel Uinek basically stated that if somebody can get 100,000 signatures.
Yeah, it was Jalopnik. Jalopnik. Or he told Jalopnik, he's like, if your story can get 100,000 posts saying that they want an El Camino, bring it.
Yeah. So there is that movement going on now where, you know, there's a few people out there trying to help Jalopnik to get those 100,000.
Why didn't we do this?
Because Joel and Wanick didn't approach us.
Well, I'm my personal feeling about that vehicle is that, and by the way, I never told you guys, but I did have a 68 El Camino a few just about 5-6 years ago.
Wow.
And it was a fun car, or truck, or whatever you want to call it.
Pickup car.
Okay.
Mullet.
but, you know, what is the probability that they're going to sell a lot of units here? Is it really worthwhile?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to sell more than 1,000 a month.
I don't know.
You know, that would be max. And you know, they've had... You know, they had some issues with the GTO in terms of what they could import into the U.S.
What if it's built in Oshawa?
Pardon me?
What if this El Camino is built in Oshawa?
Well, okay, so it is, but then, you know, you're still at the point where how many are you going to sell? Like, I'm still a big...
Well, it's a low-risk, low-volume model.
Yeah, if they build on the Camaro line, you know.
Yeah.
It's low-risk, it's low-volume, and honestly, you're gonna get great enthusiast response, and even pickup truck guys, they're going to want it, because, honestly...
But then...
I don't predict gas prices going back down to even $3.
No.
Who can afford to fill up a truck?
You know what an El Camino really is? It's a station wagon. If you look at the platform, it's a station wagon. So, you know, when you're looking at the utility of a truck versus the utility of a car, I mean, you can't take an El Camino through a field or... You know, out in the bush.
But you can't fill a station wagon full of dirt.
Well, you know what? You know what? This thing is going to end up with like a niche car, like the HHR.
Yeah. The HHR, I gotta say, that is one bad vehicle. Okay.
Bad isn't good.
It's just bad in a literal sense.
Phil Colley has an SS HHR.
It's you get in one of those, and automatically, you're like, you lose 3 inches of space on each side because the doors protrude so much into you, into the cabin.
Yeah, it's kind of claustrophobic.
What the heck is that? And then
it's a PT Cruiser killer.
Yeah, it killed something. Well, I don't know. I think we'll see about the Ute, but I think it wouldn't be that much of a risk for them. But then again, they would get great enthusiast response. But on the flip side, what are they going to get from the, you know,
Government Motors again taking a risk out on the country's money? Oh, dirt.
You know, you're going to get a lot of critical feedback from those guys. And
whatever, they don't drive pickup trucks. What do they know?
I don't think they drive at all. I think they actually walk and take the subway in New York.
They get chauffeured.
Or that.
Fools.
Yeah.
I would love to see an El Camino.
Yeah, so would I. I think the consensus is clear on the enthusiast side about the El Camino, but, you know, we'll see. So let's talk about this AutoStore thing. This is kind of cool. Have either of you ever used AutoStore?
Can we use AutoStore?
No, I not that I know of. I mean, not in the GM vehicle that I know of. So it's a technology that... It's a feature, I guess I should say.
Is it like AutoStore, like it stores things, or AutoStore is like you buy things?
Stores. So what this thing does is it can find, you can press this button, it's kind of like AutoTune, you know, and on your car radio, or maybe even on your home radio if you still have those, and it can find the, you know, 8, 10, 12, whatever the number is, stations with the strongest reception signal. And then store them in your AutoStore favorites in the radio. So
what if you have HD radio?
I think it ties into that as well. Mm. Do you know that HD radio isn't really HD though?
I don't even know what HD radio is.
It's like, it's basically regular radio, but it's digital instead of analog. So they can use multiple streams between the actual different stations. So like one, like 99.9, right, could have three different channels. One could be the Spanish version, one could be the English version, the other one could be the Irish version, for example.
The Irish version.
Right. I have no idea what part of the country I'm talking about, but...
Boston.
Know, yeah. So, let's imagine that that's the case, and, you know, it's pretty cool. I've never seen this technology on any GM product, but there was a survey that I found, or that... Who tipped this off? I think Miguel tipped us off to this.
Miguel Cabrera?
No, just Miguel. We can't disclose their last names, you know, because we got to respect their privacy.
Miguel Cabrera of the Detroit Tigers.
We could say it was Cabrera, yeah. You know, for all we know, it was him. So there was a survey that was being conducted by Opel. I think it's still up. We have a link in the original show notes that you can find at weekly.gmauthority.com. And we have it in the original post that you can find in the show notes, I should say. So, Opel survey. asking whether or not you use it, whether or not you'd like to use it, and so on and so forth. The only vehicles that I know that AutoStore has been available on is BMWs and Audis, and those were probably sometime in 2002 or 2003, so it's not a brand new technology. But it's interesting that you know, Opel is asking about it, and if Opel is asking about it, I would not imagine why, you know, the rest of GM wouldn't get it if it were to be implemented. So, I don't know.
Fancy schmancy.
Fancy schmancy tech. We'll see what happens there. I think that's all we could say about that. Let's talk about something exciting, huh?
Or is it exciting? Or is it just plain stupid?
Or is it...
It's really, like, really, we're back to this. We're back to this again.
We need to call this the grunt show. The grunting show.
I like Bob Staple.
Bob Staple.
My vote is in for Bob Staple.
Hilton, you feel the same way?
No.
About Bob Staple?
No.
You gotta respect the man.
I'm Bob Staple is a man I made up.
Yeah, but he's based on a character that we don't want to...
You don't know that.
Yeah, but if people listen to it, they'll know that.
Whatever, Mr. Sensitive.
I'm not sensitive.
We can call it the Grunt Show.
Hey, you're the one who told me... You're the one who asked me if I drove the Volt for 30 seconds before the show, so...
Yeah?
You know.
Well, you drove a Mustang Boss 302 for 30 seconds.
Yeah, 350. It wasn't a Boss. It was a Mustang 350 GT... Shelby, baby.
Oh, well, excuse me.
$110,000 MSRP.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. So now I'm worth $100 more.
Shit.
My experience precedes me. I'm kidding. So,
mid-engine 7 Corvette.
Yes. What about this thing? Another rumor, according to Autocar?
From Autocar. Yep. These silly Brits are at it again. This rumor just won't die.
Well, you know what that means, right? It means it's got to be true.
Yeah.
Remind me on Monday to make up another rumor about the
C7. What is the rumor?
That the engine will be on the roof, Hilton.
Okay.
It's not going to be in the trunk?
Is that to make it more aerodynamic?
I believe so, or to allow better cooling of the engine.
Hey, is it going to have those really cool openers, like the little flaps that you see in the Fast and the Furious movies?
Manny, are you breaking the story that the next C7 is going to be an air-cooled engine?
I'm breaking the story. Not only that, but it's going to be twin supercharged.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is how rumors are made, right here. We just came up with like three right there.
On the roof,
air cool, and it's gonna get flaps too.
Yeah, flap, and it's gonna have like an optional like drag parachute.
Ooh, yeah! Wow.
Dealer installed.
Is that a LPO option?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it also gonna have the louvers from the Cruise Eco?
It's also gonna have those like a bunch of speed racer buttons where like you press one, it like dumps oil slick. You press another one, you can bound a cliff. You press another one and it like you can.
How about catapult?
Yeah, it's like a catapult. You can like bound over a cliff.
I like that.
It's got like these springs on the bottom. Just pew, it makes a cool noise. Pew, 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 and you
wow.
Land.
It's also going to be all wheel drive, I hear.
Yeah. Five wheel drive. What are you talking about?
Oh, they're gonna put a cog in the middle so they can like.
Cog rail. No, it's not. It's gonna be like a roller ball.
Wow.
Like you know, like if you want to park itself instead of like you know moving around with all these four wheels, you just this real ball will pop out, boom, and you just kind of slide into like this spot.
Can you make that sound again? Boom. It's also gonna have another airbag that we may not speak of.
The cauliflower airbag. Right.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The C7 vet right there. Boom. Done.
But in all seriousness or lack thereof, they Autocar is speculating that the C7 Corvette will have a mid engine. Yeah, it's going to be mid engine. I know.
I don't know why it's funny. It's just funny.
It's ridiculous because we've heard all these different things where it's just like. It's just not going to be a mid-engine Corvette. But they're going off this Mark Royce quote that Royce said, it's going to be completely different.
Ooh.
Yeah, completely different. Could mean like all sorts of things. It could mean that the styling's gonna be completely different, which, you know, let's face it, let's hope so. And
I think it's gonna have the steering wheel from the Chevy Cruze.
Oh man.
And the turn signals too. Jeez. Turn. What do you call it? The stem. The stop.
You know, it'd be sweet if they had the button turn signals like in the Ferrari 458.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I like
Anywho.
That.
Anywho. Yeah. Anywho. Engines and transmissions could be completely different, which, you know, we also expect that to be different. Oh. We could have new technology, completely different interior layout, you know. It's
so, yeah, it's like this is BS.
Yeah, I mean, but we could, you know, that it when you list off all those things, it's you got yourself a completely different Corvette, but you still have the same layout. So, what the hell?
Yeah, this is kind of like pulling rabbits out of a trunk. That's,
out of a hat.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yours is better.
I think Autocar just really wants to
They want traffic.
Corvette. Yeah, well, maybe they just want to see a mid-engine Corvette.
I'd like to see it, but I don't think it's going to be the C7.
Yeah, I would like to see like a C7 and then like a super effing Corvette beast thing that eats babies. Mid-engine.
You're into that kind of stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know. That something that just like crunches out, you know, our Audi R8s and eats 458s, shits out GT3s.
With an engine at the top, by the way. On the roof. In fact, I think it's going to be solar powered.
No, or what if it had like the air scoop on the roof, like the Lotus Exige?
Ooh, and maybe like the aileron, the Spyker aileron, yeah. That'd be kind of sweet, right?
Have like the chrome portholes.
But then again, the sacrifices that you make and all those improvements will mean that you will get no AC.
No AC.
No. The C8 doesn't have any AC.
You're kidding.
Nope, it doesn't have AC.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Nuh-uh.
Honestly, it doesn't have any AC, I'm telling you. No air conditioning.
What?
No air conditioning. I don't think any Spyker car has air conditioning.
No.
I'm telling you.
I could have sworn I saw it.
I don't think there's one Spyker model that has AC.
I took pictures of the C8, and I could have sworn.
Well, there are air vents, but it just takes the air from the outside and brings it to you. You know,
oh, really?
Otherwise, you kind of get choked, you know, because of no air, lack of oxygen.
Gets all classic. So they just bring the air from the outside.
I believe that's what they do.
Wow.
I mean, I you know, as far as I know.
Where do I
get my information?
Yes. You don't get it from GM Authority.
Al Gore told me.
Al Gore. Did he fly down with his cape and come and save you?
No, but well, Donald Trump did because he's going to be the next president, apparently. So, you know. In any event, let's take another quick break and you know, potty break for anyone who deserves it.
I'm still on.
If you didn't deserve it, you don't get it. Well, what are we taking a break for? Oh, that's right. We're taking a break to let you know that besides this very podcast, we also cover the very news that we're discussing right now in a much more concise package and in a much more up-to-date package. You don't have to wait like a week or 2 weeks between every show. You can just go on our website, gmauthority.com, and check out the GM Authority news desk that's also known as the GM Authority blog. And, you know, the latest news, rumors, analysis, opinions, reviews, as it all relates to General Motors. You can find all of that at gmauthority.com. So check it out and enjoy. Enjoy. They say that a lot in you know, United States, right? Enjoy.
Eh.
Enjoy your milkshake, sir. Enjoy your massage. Enjoy your funeral.
Enjoy your funeral. Have a great funeral. Have a great day or not. Each choice is yours.
Enjoy GM Authority. So it's kind of like it's kind of like subliminal, you know.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
So Rat Rodders, eh?
You want to talk about Rat Rodders?
Rat Rodders.
They're Rat Rodders. And Rat Rodders, they bash.
Hilton, bash. I got to ask you: are you going to do this to your Camaro?
Absolutely not. Well,
no. He's got to think about it.
Well, no, I was just thinking maybe my youngest son will do it in, you know, 50 years from now. You know,
when it's actually okay to do it.
Yeah, then it will
socially acceptable.
Exactly.
And morally, too.
More, and, yeah, you know, this is.
I will say, though, that, well, maybe we should just explain what this person did.
Do we have to? I mean.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
We
do. All right, well, I'll take it from here, then.
Take it.
All right. Well, so, basically, this is a Gen 5 Camaro SS.
Mm-hmm. You know, so far, so good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy, I think is Bob, not Bob, Bill Rombots. I think. I almost want to say robots or Robonauts. Bill Robonauts.
That's not, I ain't got no brain robot.
Bill Robot and his computer mind with a 2010 Camaro SS. Basically, he put $100,000 into beating the living hell out of this car. Like, its whole body is completely tarnished. They sanded away the factory paint. They
nice.
Yeah, to the point where there was nothing but sheet metal. And then from there, they took water and salt and to the exposed
urine?
Metal and urine. Yeah, urine and fire. And they ruined the sheet metal. They literally rusted it up, like full on rusted. They purposely misaligned the hood and broke the front fascia.
Now that's what I call art right there. Okay, like I don't know about you guys, but art to me is when you take something that's beautiful and refined and aggressive and just beautiful, and you just completely fuck it up. That's art right there.
You just dropped an F-bomb.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we rated?
You got a little carried away there.
Whoops, I'm sorry. I'm talking about art. I mean, you know, artists are passionate people. I'm an artiste myself.
Have you ever seen Fight Club?
Wait, Manny, didn't he say he funked it up?
Yeah, I thought that's what I said.
Yeah, it's real funky.
Yeah.
Have
you guys ever seen the movie Fight Club? That
he just dropped another F-bomb.
Yep, he says an instant code. He's like, I felt like destroying something beautiful. Basically, this is what.
Oh, when it kills the blonde kid.
Yeah, pretty much like smashes his face up. Yeah, I feel like destroying something beautiful.
Nice.
And they basically did, but at the same time, even though the exterior looks just completely destroyed. And well, by the way, they did this all in 1 week's time. We got pictures up, ladies and gents, on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the damage. This isn't fake. This isn't paint. That's
not
real
a wrap.
Rust. Yeah, that's real rust. That's real sanded away paint. That's real sheet metal, exposed sheet metal. That's a real broken grill. That's a real misaligned hood. It's crazy. They even messed up the interior a little bit, but there's no photos on that. Anyway, this thing, even though it looks like shit, it's punching out 1,000 horsepower. Yeah, I thought, 1,000. And when you pop up the hood, the engine is completely beautiful, sparkling, immaculate. There's nothing wrong with it. It's
so basically, you would not want to steal this car from the outside.
This is what you say is beauty is not skin deep.
Right.
You know.
So basically, this is also another lesson of. How do we spend $100,000 in a matter of a week? The best way to do it within a week.
You got to have a lot of money.
By the way, it's got some writing in the back. Do you guys notice that? It says, this old man just smoked your ass.
Smoked your ass. You could, 1,000 horsepower, you could pretty much smoke anything.
Well, I drove a Camaro that Hilton belongs to, our common friend, Larry here. And his has, just shy over 700 or under 700?
Just under.
And that thing was scary as heck to drive for someone who drives a Chevy Cruze on a daily basis, at least. I can't imagine 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah. I had a CTSV for a week.
I mean, jeez.
I could barely get used to it. Adding another 500 horsepower into what the CTSV already has.
I wonder why they didn't put the engine in the hood in this one. I don't know. Oh. Or on the roof, I mean.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, I will say, though, that...
it would take away from the rustic effect.
Well, if... You know what? The effect, you know, what he tried to do here, I think looks pretty authentic from pictures. Yeah. And if you were to have this look on, geez, I don't know, let's say a 59 Impala, you know, unrestored, you know, but it's you know, extremely weathered, then guys would love that look, you know. But, you know, taking a brand new Camaro and, you know, just basically destroying the finish on it, you know, people are, they just can't understand it.
They're taking it back.
They're also...
It gets your attention, though, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what? Some people will appreciate this car. Some people will. I mean, it is, believe it or not, it is art. That car is art. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, too, is, you know, people used to say, well, you know, oh, you collect Camaros. Why do you do that? I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's
What if I go pee in the snow and make little drawings with that? Was that also art?
Yeah, but that's temporary art.
Ah, I gotta take a picture of that then.
Mm. Well, you know, people say, well, why do you collect Camaros?
Right.
I mean, it's just transportation to go from A to B. And for me, it's, and a lot of collectors,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter if it, what kind of vehicle it is, but you know, a lot of people look at a car and say it's one of the few things in the world where art and mechanics or engineering,
mm-hmm.
You know, infuse together to create a product.
Yeah.
You know, very, very seldom do you have a utilitarian product meshed with something that is just supposed to be an object of beauty. And so, you know, when you think about that term and you look at this car, and remember, art doesn't have to be beautiful. It could be shocking. It could be violent. It could be...
it just has to be striking.
You know, out there.
I'll give you a striking.
And this car is that, but also on the engineering side, it's 1,000 horsepower. So it's like he's taken that idea and just maximizing it.
It says
that's what red rotting is all about, though.
It says GM Performance Division test mule on the side, by the way.
Well, they use authentic GM performance parts in the engine.
Test mule.
Mm-hmm. It's a test. Wait, honestly, imagine if this caught on with modern cars. Imagine,
man, the world would be a whole lot uglier.
Oh man, can you imagine if someone did that to a CTS-V? Oh man, just thinking
about
it.
Well, in that case, just don't paint it for me. Just, can I buy it without paint?
Yeah, just buy it without paint and beat the...
Which is not really possible.
Or you could be like that. You could be like that aftermarket company that took an Audi R8 and sanded the paint right off.
Yep. Yeah, that was
crazy. It looks ridiculous.
You know what I'd rather do? You know what I'd rather do? And not spend $100,000? I'd spend $3,000 and wrap it in matte black. That's what I'd rather do.
My mom hates matte finish. I don't understand why. She's like, it's ugly. It makes it look like it was spray canned. I'm like, Mom, it's great.
It's art.
It's art.
That's all you can say. I mean, everything it can be your answer to pretty much anything.
Yeah, Mom, it's art.
Mom, I don't like your new operation, son. I don't think your that look goes well on you. It's art,
son.
Mom,
I don't think you deserve man boobs. You were thinking it. I just said it.
Yep. Well, you know, operations can take many, many approaches.
Are you considering a breast enhancement, Alex?
Me? No. I'm perfectly fine with my breasts. Thank you. In fact, I'm petting them right now as we speak, just as I was petting my shoulder earlier in the show.
For photos, go to.
Yeah. Go to gmauthority.com. Now watch this. Some people would actually go there. It would be kind of funny.
Yeah, Alex touching his... himself. Anyways, can we get back from our tangent?
I think that's it. I mean, I don't know what else to say about this thing.
About the
Rat Rodder Camaro.
I would love to see this thing in person.
I'm going
to
tell you what.
I hope it's at SEMA. What if it's at SEMA? Or
this is not a trend that needs to catch on.
It's going to be at SEMA, though. Watch.
No.
It's going to be.
Oh my god!
It's gonna be at SEMA, or I bet you even yet, it's bet you it's gonna be in at Autorama, because they do rat.
Yeah, it'll definitely be at Autorama. Yeah. I'm gonna ask the guy if he has at SEMA, if his car is at SEMA, and if he's at SEMA as well. Mr. What's his name again? Mr. Rombots. If that is his real name, I'm going to ask him if he could lend me like $50. You know, I like to sand down a part of my cruise. You know, just like in a bumper area, just to see how it works. Whatever. I mean, it would be worse if you did this to a ZL1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'll look different, a little different with the fiberglass, but...
Right. I don't think you can sand that down that well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. I think we've pretty much covered all that we had to cover today.
You don't want
to
talk about Cadillac racing?
Whoa.
I want to talk about, you know, the very last topic that we had planned.
Does it start with an H?
Because Alex was responsible for, you know, a Holden... communication shitstorm.
single-handedly aroused and awoken the beast.
Oh man, did we?
You know, I think half of Australia knows who Alex Luft is,
and where I live too.
Yep. And just to fill people in on what happened is, you know, Alex wrote an opinion piece, which, by the way, should be left to me because I don't cause the trouble that Alex does when he writes one. And Manny, too, when he writes them, he doesn't cause trouble.
Conservatives.
And,
wussies.
And he wrote one which suggested that Holden... actually, the name Holden or the brand Holden be dropped and replaced with Chevrolet.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, no.
And
pretty much.
You know, it got picked up by a few Australian websites and news
outlets.
Outlets.
Particularly Go Auto.
Yes, and. You know, Holden quickly read his piece and had to respond to it. And I think all of us are quite familiar with a few of the Holden communications people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or no, they're familiar with us.
We've heard of them, and they've heard of us.
Yeah, exactly. And so... well, I'll put it this way. I mean, I've been communicating, tweeting back and forth with a couple of Holden people, so...
Did they ask you what the F was Alex thinking?
Not really. They never
not
really
directly?
Got into, no, they just said, you know, it's just not going to happen. You know, what Alex said is not going to happen, and, you know, it's as insane as... You know, replacing the Detroit Red Wings with the Colorado Avalanche.
Or the Mapes.
It has happened before.
Yeah. And anyways, when they, you know, obviously Mark Royce is well connected with everybody at Holden because of his
upbringing.
His position
over Never heard
there.
Of the guy. Who's that?
Yeah. And, and so anyways, everybody started putting in their points of view.
About, 2 cents.
Yeah.
Or 10 cents in some
about
cases.
The viability of, you know, Holden name disappearing. And anyways, it's apparently not going to happen.
Really?
But, you know, having said that Alex, you know, commented or suggested that it may be viable, we do have a second opinion.
Wow.
We do.
Who might that be from?
I.
Conservative Republican.
I'm not, what?
I'm kidding, go on.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was me. Hilton, do you want to elaborate? Do you want me to speak for
myself? No, go ahead.
Okay.
Republican.
I don't think you guys agree with me too much.
Hmm?
Oh, nothing.
What are we talking about?
Well, okay. I basically, yeah, I wrote a rebuttal to Alex's post and to his whole proposal. Basically, it focuses on the main point of global brand harmony and simplicity, essentially for Chevrolet, which is basically GM's baby globally right now. You can find GM in every continent except Antarctica and Australia,
Oceania, yeah.
Yeah. So. It'll help reduce name confusion, everything. When you take a look at say like the Chevy Cruze, it's the Holden Cruze in Australia, or the Chevy Aveo, it's the Holden Barina, or the Barina Spark.
Barina Spark, yeah.
Yeah, Chevy Spark. It's like, well, I mean, why does it? Why? What's with all that? Does it really need to happen that way?
Yeah.
And Alex made a very good point in saying that no, it does not need to happen. And considering that Chevrolet is a more recognized brand than Holden is, mm-hmm. that Chevrolet should absorb Holden and Holden just kind of fade out into the history books.
Right.
And basically that's where the shitstorm arose.
Over time. I mean, I suggested it over time. I didn't say it has to be done tomorrow.
Yeah. And again, I said that it doesn't – well, you know, my point would being that it doesn't – matter if the Chevrolet takeover of Holden will take 10 years or it happens tomorrow, because the Australian people basically are going to continue to be Australian people, and Holden to them is a cultural icon. They will continue to have a passion and pride for Holden because marquees that have been around since the mid 1800s, I think it dates back to, I think, like 1856.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's hammered that date into me quite a.
Yeah, that's
quite a bit.
That's older than Mercedes Benz. That's real old.
Yeah, they made carriages at first.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
should we still have Remington typewriters?
Could have Remington.
I mean, I know about the whole patriotic.
Well, yeah, but look, yeah, but you don't. Holden doesn't make horse-drawn carriages anymore. They've evolved into a car, you know, an automotive brand, and they have roots that run deeper than Chevrolet. Which, by the way, Chevy is 100 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it's become a major incorporated piece of Australian history, culture, and tradition, and not to mention is recognized across the planet as something that is distinctively Australian.
Is it? I mean, does anybody really know about Holden and, you know, outside of our crazy automotive crazed circles?
You could ask anyone in who
I asked my mom. She's got no idea. She could care less.
Well, it doesn't matter what your mom thinks.
Right, exactly. It matters what Australians think.
Yeah, this is exactly because your mom's not an Australian customer.
But what about if they let's say they kept the Holden name, and mm-hmm. but every product that they had was a Chevy product, and they shared the same product name
mm-hmm.
as Chevrolet,
mm-hmm. which they kind of do now.
Yeah, well, they kind of turn out, but
yeah, more so now than ever. But mm-hmm. you know, if they totally went 100% in that direction, do you have any objection to that?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, I don't think I have an objection to it, but here's what I would say: Holden today truly makes three distinct models based on one platform.
Right, I can't argue with you there, and I'm not trying to.
Right, well, Commodore U and Statesman, all Zeta-based,
right.
You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's basically the Zeta platform. Holden's pretty much
that's
engineered.
It.
Well, they also had a heavy hand in the Cruze design
so, right.
and their development. Mm-hmm. But then again, when you look at it, the Cruze, it also had, GM Korea.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting that Holden... You know, like somebody dropped a nuke on Holden, you know, Port Elizabeth plant, and all of a sudden everybody just, you know, just kind of scattered around.
Right.
I'm all for Australian local production. I am completely for engineering and development in Australia. That is not what the case, what we're talking about. We're talking about here is brands. And, you know, I think the people who really care about Holden really are the ones who drive the Commodores, Statesmen, and Utes. Anybody else who drives or buys a Cruze, Barina Spark, a Barina, or the Captiva, you know, could care less if it's a Holden, in my opinion.
Right, but you got to also think at the same time that Chevrolet was once in the Australian market and failed as a brand.
That's fine. I mean, mostly things fail, things come back up. I mean,
yeah, things come back up. But basically, I mean, maybe the most tolerant solution would be this: that these global vehicles, like the Cruze, the Barina, the Captiva, you know, things like that that you can find anywhere else in the world, badged as a Chevrolet and only a Chevrolet, be Chevrolet models in Australia.
Right.
But it, models like the Commodore stick to being the Commodore, being a Holden. Mm-hmm. Because
I agree. I think that would be fine.
Yeah. Because they're distinctively Holden. And they're, you know, as such, they're distinctively,
I mean, the Commodore is Commodore is the best-selling vehicle, or was the best-selling vehicle in Australia in 2010.
Yeah. Well, what does that tell you about how many people love Holden?
Right, but they like the Commodore.
Okay, but I mean, how many vehicles are we talking about? Because, you know, what's the population of Australia? 30?
Yeah, not that much.
I think the market size, the overall population is about the size of Texas, give or take a few.
Right. So it's a size, okay, you know, so, physical, you know, geography is a size of
that.
Right.
No, the physical geography is huge, but
they don't sell
people.
A hell of a lot of them in the grand scheme of things. And the other thing too is, don't forget, the Commodore is sold in Europe as the Vauxhall Commodore.
Right. Well, that's a whole other problem that we could get into, because Vauxhall, and I don't understand why
Vauxhall just needs to go.
Well,
no,
you
know what? Again, here's the same issue.
Yeah, it's that same issue. But the difference between Vauxhall and Holden is that Holden still has engineers and developing teams.
Well, here's my question. Right, Vauxhall doesn't have any of that. Right. Vauxhall is just a marketing establishment.
That's it. It's
right.
Yeah. So everything that Vauxhall has is German.
Right. Here's my question. I mean, pretty much, if you read the comments on GM Authority on my original article, Manoli, on your follow up and rebuttal, on, you know, the various other websites that have picked this up, if you read the comments, they're left by hardcore enthusiasts, and obviously that represents the market that is reading these websites, these publications like ours, and you know, obviously communicating and giving their feedback. So first of all, my question is, how many of those enthusiasts really make up the market? But more importantly, does this, I mean, is it possible over the course of 10, maybe 15, maybe 20 years, maybe longer than that, I don't know, but over the course of 2 decades, let's say, is it possible to bring up a generation of people in Australia who are not familiar with Holden? Or who are who are familiar with Holden being associated with Chevy? Is that possible?
You can design that, yes, absolutely. You can design the Holden name out of the country. And I'll give people an example.
Mm-hmm.
If I told you that there are 15 million Americans today that have no recollection of 911, would you believe me?
I would, because they were born after it, and, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You understand the stories. You read things.
I know, but the thing is, you know, the media is obviously doing, and we're all doing a very good job at educating the young about what happened, okay? But imagine if a corporation wanted to slowly wean a population off a brand.
Mm-hmm.
It can design and a negative process whereby they slowly remove the name.
Or replace it.
Right. So, well, not a rapid replacement.
Right.
You know, for Holden, you can start with a Holden by a little by Chevrolet underneath the Holden, name.
Yep.
Make sure everything, all the products end up with, you know, common names that we use here. And then slowly, you know, either, you know, give the Holden emblem a little bit of bow tie-ish look in the background.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And, you know, it's slowly, you can engineer it out. So, and if you can do that over time.
Right.
You know?
honestly.
Someday you're going to still have you'll have Holden, that such that, you know, a generation will say, it's just a Chevy anyways.
Right. Well, I think it's important that we discuss the reason for me having brought this topic up. And that is, brand harmony and but really, I think having Holden as a brand, as a separate brand in Australia and in Oceania in general, will put not only Chevy, but will also put Holden at a disadvantage from a marketing perspective. And it's very simple. It can be seen today, and I'm going to simplify it for the sake of, the argument here. But, we have now, more than ever before, these global communication networks, such as Twitter, such as Facebook. You know, there will be more as time goes on. More will sprout up and become, take over our communication, where communication is mostly, or maybe not communication, but discussion takes place publicly, where trending topics on Twitter, for example, is something that's important. If you get your brand, if you get your name, if you get anything that you care about and you're marketing or selling into the trending topics on Twitter, it is guaranteed that you're going to get a huge amount of attention and you're going to get a huge amount of, huge influx in sales. So if that happens, guess what? It can't happen when only 2% of the population in the world is talking about a new Holden product. But it can happen when everybody's talking about a global product such as Chevrolet.
Australia lives, they're an island though.
That's fine. Australia's but again, not, again, right,
market,
again.
Their
so,
market is an island.
Okay, so compare it, that's fine.
Figuratively speaking.
Exactly. But we're not talking about just Australia, we're talking about Oceania. But even if we were talking about just Australia, compare what we have with GM and Chevy and Holden. Compare that to Ford and Toyota and Honda and Nissan. Compare, for example,
I think I wrote a piece on that like a year and a half ago or
right.
something. And,
you did.
And you know what? I totally agree with Alex there. General Motors needs to have global identity. It has to do a better job of ensuring that somebody who comes from some third world country who immigrates to now the three biggest countries that accept poor immigrants are the United States, Canada, and Australia.
Right.
And as I said in the past, that when immigrants come to these countries, it's foreign. They haven't seen half the stuff that we have. Everyday BlackBerry or computer. This is all, stuff that they've maybe seen on a television, but mm-hmm. maybe never seen in person. And when you're in a foreign land with different customs and traditions.
Right.
Then, you're going to feel uncomfortable. And the first thing you're going to do is try and surround yourself with things that you do know of from the old country, whether that be, people from the same country.
Food.
The foods that you ate in that old country.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether it's, vehicles or how you furnish your home. It's just this comfort level. And, when they maybe, they may in fact be looking at the same product here as something that may have been in Africa, for example, but they don't know they're looking at the same product. And that's the thing, to be able to cross that bridge or just make that knowledge just greater out there.
Right.
You know?
Well, even if you look at that, what's the number one? I think there was a study out maybe 4 years ago, I want to say, back in 2006, when in the United States, what is the number one most popular vehicle that's purchased by immigrants in this country? What's the number one brand? It's Toyota. Exactly. And why is it? Because it's a global brand, and pretty much Toyota
because
has
because everyone drove
products.
Hiluxes in the old village. That's why.
So, I think it's easy to make a business case here. There is obviously a lot of emotion involved here, and I appreciate that. And I know exactly what a lot of the commenters a lot of the comments on our post and so many other articles that are referencing our article, you know, exactly where they're coming from. I understand that. But, you know, we got to think in the long term whether this will be a good business decision for Chevy and consequently for Holden. And I think in the long term, I think it will be. Obviously, you know, there are quite a few dissenting opinions, but I haven't, the only opinion so far that I've heard that has truly a business, you know, relationship of any kind is the fact that it's a strong brand. And as we discussed here, as Hilton discussed here, there are ways of changing that and using that to your advantage and transitioning off of it rather than, you know, just killing it altogether.
I can't just let you walk away with that.
Please don't. Like, please don't.
No, but again, we can't pretend to know the validity here of the Australian market.
Nobody's questioning its validity. I mean, it's valid. People buy cars.
No, I'm going to say how volatile it is.
Oh, the volatility. All right. I guess.
Okay. So I'm not going to pretend to, but I feel that you guys are possibly underestimating the market there. That's one thing. Two, I don't even think it, even if it took like 20, 30 years to do this, you're still going to have a group who would be older by then, who yep. are going to feel estranged, alienated, you know, all sorts of things.
You know, I think that stuff dies. You know, I think those feelings, you know, especially when it's decades have passed since that it's happened, that stuff goes away. And I think what, at the end of the day, what people really go after those feelings, you know, fade, is they go after a good product. And if Chevy, the only thing that Chevy needs to worry about, or GM, excuse me, GM or Holden, need to worry about, is to continue making world-class products that are the best products possible. You know, I agree. There will always be some part of the market. I mean, look, Pontiac is dead. Okay, that is an American legend, for crying out loud.
And how many people got pissed off? How many people are still pissed off?
Oh, and how is GM doing now, all of a sudden, with Pontiac dead?
Well, they're still doing fine. There wasn't enough people in Pontiac, and you know, within Pontiac to turn GM upside down.
Oh, Saturn, same thing. I mean, you got Oldsmobile.
Well, because out of all the, that's because you have all those people who, while at the same time you might have that minority group of diehards, most of them just want a product. They just want something to drive.
That's what I'm talking about here. Holden, for the most part.
You don't know that.
I don't know that, but you don't know that either.
No, but again, I'm not pretending to.
Well, I mean,
honestly.
Right. I mean,
take this scenario for consideration. Mm-hmm. What if everything was flip flop? What if Holden was the global dominating
that's
brand?
That's just hilarious to me.
No.
Because it's hilarious. Because now you'd have to go into every single country.
No.
And change.
Okay, Mr. Computer. I'm talking about just like an alternate reality here where Holden is Chevy.
Oh, you mean
Chevy
like hypothetically? Well. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Now, what if all of a sudden Holden wanted to come into America where Chevy is, you know, basically apple pie and Chevrolet, right? They wanted to take over Chevrolet, basically run them out and replace it with Holden.
You know?
Or more realistically, what if Fiat wanted to replace Chrysler?
Well, let's stick with GM. I mean, I understand. Let's stick with Holden wanting to replace Chevy.
But honestly, this is a realistic scenario here. Mm-hmm. What if Fiat wanted to replace Chrysler with something like Lancia?
I think it can be done because here's the thing. Go ahead.
Maybe it's because the Chrysler name is just it's so far down the drain mm-hmm. today.
Right.
It's tarnished.
Yep.
But even if it were strong
and even if it had a, you know, non-tarnished brand, over the course of 20 or 30 years, if the business called for it, you know, and business certainly, we can't argue here that there is definitely a business case from a marketing perspective, you know, at the very least, at the very most.
There's a huge risk, though. There's a huge risk.
I don't think there's a risk when you do it over time.
There are very, even the 20, 30 years, I mean, that's like ridiculous. Why are you even talking about 20, 30 years? You know, Why are we even talk?
No, look, because you have to have these conversations. I mean, strategies are made not based on months.
20, 30 years from now, all of GM is going to be restaffed.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, 20, 30 years from now, you can't just develop like a 30-year plan for and expect it to go along smoothly in 30 years. You know, 10 years down the road, they could kill
it. Well, no, there are ways of doing that. I disagree with you. I mean, listen, we could talk about whether or not GM could execute that plan, but that's a different story.
Okay. You know? Well, all right, we'll keep that aside. Honestly, like the whole 30-year thing, I find it kind of ridiculous.
But I could see that happening. I mean, no. Personally, obviously, I'm not really invested in the Chrysler brand and nameplate. But nevertheless, if business called for it, and you know, I think more and more and more a global name and a global brand calls for it, then it's definitely possible and it's doable. Again,
I don't see a good solution being that Chevrolet just wipes out Holden. I honestly think that there's room.
Well, they don't wipe it out.
They
slowly integrate.
They slowly kill it. Whatever.
Right.
They,
I mean, when you say wipe it out, it's like I'm gonna wipe you from the face of this earth. I'm Rambo.
Well, you do just in a slower kind of cancer kind of way.
Well, right. But at that point, the question is, does anybody notice? I don't think so.
I would think so. I'm not underestimating that market. I'm not going to. And
you're just a coward.
No, I'm not a coward. I'm not underestimating that market, and I feel that a better solution just as viable and plausible solution would be for Chevrolet and Holden to kind of coexist. And if you want to talk about other global brands, like say problems like in the UK with Vauxhall and just things like that.
But I mean, honestly, how long until Vauxhall goes away? How long? I mean,
I don't know.
I'm going to give it 5 years.
That's a conversation maybe for another time when we do, if you want to talk about Vauxhall and everything.
I'm going to write another one of these for Vauxhall.
Go ahead. Yeah, but, you know, for Holden, I don't understand. I wouldn't mind seeing Holden sold in America.
See, I don't think there's space. What are they going to sell?
Commodores.
That's it? That's not enough to warrant a brand. I mean, Opel I can see being sold in America instead of Buick.
Actually, I shouldn't say smart. Smart's a terrible example.
Yeah, don't bring that up.
Tesla.
High-end luxury.
Model S.
That may or may not make it.
The Model S?
That may or may not make it. I mean, do we know that Tesla is going to be around in 10 years? This company is less than 4 years old.
Well, the Model S isn't.
And they haven't been profitable. They've only been profitable for like half
a
quarter.
How can you be profitable when all you have is investors and the only thing you sell is a roadster?
I don't know. I mean, that we're talking about businesses here, right?
Well, you want to talk about business? They're going to have the Model S.
Okay. Well,
I mean that's aimed a lot.
So they're going to
that SUV.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like 10 years out.
I don't know about that.
All right, well, we're digressing here, but I don't think that the Tesla argument is valid because it's a completely different car company and they have yet to prove themselves financially. They make excellent products. I love the Roadster.
What if you were to take Opel and Holden and combine them?
I would just bring Opel. I mean, why Holden?
And then the Germans are going to start complaining about, losing.
Oh, then we're going to have like World War III, man. That's literally, we're going to have like the Germans versus the, Australians.
I spin this and you're all like, oh my God, there's no way this could happen.
Yep, World War III, I'm telling you. It's going to be just, like how World War I started with the killing of like Duke or
France, Ferdinand.
Yeah. So this is going to be from the killing of a brand, from the killing of Holden or something like that. So.
See, exactly.
We'll see.
I spin it and all of a sudden it's, oh my God.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna write one about Vauxhall coming soon, so. Get ready to be flamed, or at least I should get ready, right?
Yeah, you should get ready to be flamed by the Brits this time with more accents.
I really like the way you do that.
I mean, what are you doing?
What are you talking about?
Pish posh.
I want my tea and my biscuit.
I'm sitting here. I'm sipping Bovril and drinking Guinness stout.
Well, you know what's funny is like Guinness. The British automotive industry has already left Britain, except for Vauxhall. Jaguar, Land Rover, MG.
They're still built in Britain.
Sorry?
They're still built in Britain, aren't they?
Yeah, for how long?
I don't think that they're going to be leaving Britain. That's the thing about Britain.
I think they'll be leaving.
They have the whole history thing about
I had somebody tell me the other day who is a Land Rover, who just bought a Range Rover, actually. Mm-hmm. This is, an $80,000 car?
Didn't know it was owned by Tata Motors.
No, not only that, they thought it was German.
You told me about that, yeah. But, hey, you know, that's the world we live in.
And they're like, they were all serious. They're like, I just bought a German vehicle. I scratched my head for a second. I'm like, can you repeat that real quick? What did you say? German? Well, it was designed.
I want to see the Range Rover Evoque coupe. I want to see that on the road.
I think it's going to have an engine on the roof, actually.
No, you didn't see it in New York?
No, I know, but the ones in New York weren't the special edition. The special edition with the mid-engine, we're going to have the engine in the roof. Like the mid-engine Evoques. It's going to be extra special. Hey, guys, I think we've worn our welcome thin here, so thank you all for being here, and thanks to all of you for listening. And as we do at the end of every show, let's welcome anyone from GM, not just Bob Lutz, but, you know, Mr. Wanick, Mr. Royce, Tom Stevens.
Right. I'd like a special invite for this show. And okay. That is Andrea Matthews from Holden.
Oh, wonderful.
Who's the social media and digital communications manager.
All right. So let me write that down.
Yeah.
I'm going to take out my pen. Let's see if I can still write. And yeah.
Well, and let's do something to name the show after her, or, you know, in her honor.
We should just call this show the Andrea Matthews Show.
All right, done.
No.
No. Listen, Manny, we're not going to call this the Bob Staples Show.
Well, can we call it Mr. Robot Show?
We're not calling it that.
We can't call it the Robot
Show.
We
can't. Why are you so intent on tarnishing a poor man's, who's already deceased?
The guy that did the
The other guy. All right, yeah. He's not getting any street cred. No. Listen.
You're so hung up about it.
He's already gotten enough publicity that he probably is on the number one. His Camaro is a number one most wanted on the car thieves and bandanas list. All right.
Just a quick thing. If the Camaro eventually does get sold in Australia, should it be called the Holden Camaro?
I say be called the Vauxhall VX8, VXR8. Maybe even like the Chevy Aveo. They can call it the Aveo. Or maybe the Camilo.
They should.
That's the Chinese, the Mecca.
Manny.
Yes.
We need a new boss.
I know.
I'm sorry, guys. But your wish will be granted in about a year or so.
Okay, good.
So can you guys wait a year? Is that possible?
It'll be tough.
You're going to start like crossing out dates on the calendar with a lipstick? Like the Billy Madison guy, the crazy guy? Yeah. In any event, yes, Andrea, you said Matthews, right? Welcome on the show at any time. We can accommodate the show. We can accommodate the schedule. We're flexible, right? Yeah. Most of the time.
And you know, it's a perfect setup because, you know, we usually tape this show while she's having lunch.
Oh, that's true, actually. So like, you know, 2 a.m. for us.
Yeah.
And it's the fall down there. It's autumn and winter and it's cold.
Yeah. Well, it's a perfect time for her to give us a call and, you know, instead of, you know, if it's summertime, they'd be, you know, out there enjoying the nice weather. But
by the way, it just snowed here in Colorado Springs. Did I tell you that?
A couple of people told me.
Yeah, it just snowed here on April 11th. It snowed. May 11th.
You are a mile up in the air, and
yeah, that's true.
Things do happen. That happens to affect the climate.
I did run up the 3 mile incline into the there's like an incline that you can run, and it started really snowing, like flaking hard at the very top. So it's snowing somewhere around here. Okay, so what else do I have to say here? I have to let people know that first of all they can, of course, friend us on Facebook or fan us on Facebook. They can become fans of us. Can you believe that?
We're famous.
Famous.
We're famous.
Facebook.com/GM Authority. You can also follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/GM Authority. That's all one word, GM Authority. And please do leave us a review in the iTunes store. We really appreciate that. You just can search for GM Authority Weekly in the iTunes store, and up will pop our name. You can click on the name, and you can just leave all any kind of feedback you want in that review, whether it's, you know, positive, negative, critical. Maybe you love us, maybe you hate us, you know, but we'd like to know what you think so we can improve. And of course, last but not least, you can find the show notes for this show at weekly.gmauthority.com. You can write into podcast@gmauthority.com with any kind of feedback, questions, suggestions. Or you can also, of course, call us at 313-355-3GMA. That's 313-355-3GMA. I think it's snowing outside, and that means the general has been served. Please rate the show in the iTunes store, head on over to iTunes, and search for GM Authority Weekly. Is anyone-